Well, the Royals went down swinging. The Chiefs are still standing tall over everybody else. Glad to have you on a Monday here on 96.5 The Fan. Congrats, K-State Wildcats. You beat my Colorado Buffaloes. I told all the people on Twitter that were ready for this show today that they would be loving to hear it because they were going to hear my apologies. There you go. But Colorado's still covered, so I'll take that as a win, I guess. I think a lot of people would take a win to go to 6-0 as we are now joined by our guy, Josh Briscoe of SI.com, our chief contributor here. Hey, Briscoe, I'm going to be real quick and honest with you. I don't think I need to ask you anything today because, hey, we nailed it with Juju Smith-Schuster. We said 8 for 130, a couple, you know, this year. Going to be Juju of old, and he was. But I have to ask you this, honestly. We'll probably see that, what, two or three, maybe three more times the rest of the season moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we are going to be objectively correct about whatever it is that we say about Juju. I'm also going to holler at Mac real quick and say, I'm hearing myself in the little talkback thingy here. Sometimes this happens, and sometimes it's a little button to hit.
Yep.
But that's what the Chiefs offense has been working with right now, Dust. You know this. You have to overcome the hurdles that may be in your way that sort of, there we go. Appreciate it, Mac. That may be able to derail the chemistry a little bit. We could not have our chemistry derailed when we were talking about how excellent Juju would be. But you're right. Yes, I think you should take that as a way the Chiefs can win, a way that the offense can get back on track, not plan A for the rest of the season that Juju's going to go for 130 every week. Take it as another positive evolution for this offense, something that's in the bag. But it definitely should not be how you envision them winning a three-peat, going back to back to back to back to back to Juju 100 times a game.
Well, and I also think, too, as we were talking about earlier in the show, we were saying, you know, why don't people think the Chiefs are a real 5-0 team, or if people want to fall into that category? And Dusty listed a bunch of offensive stuff. And I'm like, exactly. Nobody ever wants to talk about defenses in the NFL, even though they're getting better. Scoring isn't as high. I know there were some high scores yesterday around the league. But, I mean, I think people are missing the boat when they're sleeping on this defense right now.
Yeah, and the bye week, honestly, at least for me, came at a really good time for reevaluating some of those things defensively and refocusing on that fact. Because, again, it's easier for us to talk about the offense because it's the thing that we all collectively understand a little bit better. Defenses, by definition, especially in the modern NFL, are built to confuse you. The difference between the moment before the snap and the millisecond after it, the picture completely changes. Defenses have gotten so good and so interesting in terms of trying to get into the quarterback's head and then make the play once the play's actually up in the air. It really has been a remarkable last, I don't know, 5 years or so with NFL defensive evolutions. And Steve Spagnuolo has been at the forefront of that, and he has this defense executing all of that at such a high level.
Mm-hmm.
We may have touched on this even last week. I can't remember for sure. But the fact that this defense right now is rolling out only returning starters, that Jaden Hicks, as a super part-time rookie, he has the luxury of being a long-term project because you've got three safeties in front of him who had huge roles in this defense last year. The unit as a whole just hasn't missed a beat. Give extra credit to Jalen Watson for stepping into Legarius Sneed's shoes and handling that position incredibly well. Huge hat tip to Tershawn Wharton for taking advantage of playing next to Chris Jones and being able to produce in his own right. Those two guys deserve more credit and more conversation, but so much of it trickles down from Spags, where this unit looks like the same unit that we saw ending last season, despite the fact that they had a chance to have some new faces, ultimately brought back pretty much that entire group, missing Sneed, Watson steps up, here you go through 5 weeks, they're one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, and they're continuing to get better. I mean, you look at what they've given up, you know, 20, 25, 17, 10, and 13, they haven't given up 20 points since week two on the NFL calendar. It's like we just don't appreciate defenses anymore in this league.
Yeah, and again, I think part of it is like fantasy football and gambling, right? Like you can bet on offensive stats and draft your fantasy players a whole lot easier than you can do that defensively. The other thing is that even when you really, really dig in, if you're watching the All 22 and you're rewatching games multiple times, it takes you a few passes and then you can still sort of eventually, most of the time, I like to think, realize, okay, well, the offense, the quarterback's progression was 1, 2, 3. Okay, I see what they were trying to do here. Even then, there was, you know, the plays over the first few weeks weeks of the season where you have Worthy stop on the crosser, and then the next week he continues it in Rashee Rice's absence. You go, ah, yeah, look, we finally figured it out. Rashee Rice screwed up that route the week prior, and then a whole week later, after Andy Reid drops these clues, he acknowledges that Travis Kelce was the guy that bent that route too deep downfield back in week three, I think it was, right? All of that is super complex, super in the weeds, and that's when we generally know the goal. Defenses are trying to do this without even tipping their hand. So it's just a higher learning curve. I think it requires more effort to really understand what's going on defensively. Everyone is trying to keep up with guys like Spags and Brian Flores, so I don't feel too bad that the three of us have not fully understood everything that Spags is doing, because he's putting Derek Carr in hell by, giving him the best spin on a modern defense. So again, I couldn't agree more that we need to talk about this defense more, that we need to understand this defense better, and that this has been a good time to be able to do that, because when the offense leaves a little bit of a void, our instinct is so frequently to talk about why the offense isn't better, yeah, as opposed to talk about why the defense and how the defense has been so standout.
Yeah, one of the things to keep it on the discussion of defense is, had a conversation with buddies of mine that are probably like yours, that are football nerds that do all this all the time, but like, last year, it was always seemed to be in the middle of a game or in a clutch situation, you'd see McDuffie come as the design blitzer for Spags that nobody knew was coming out of nowhere because he just didn't show it. And you wonder, with the loss of L'Jarius Sneed and McDuffie now, his own number one over there, who's going to be that guy? And Briscoe, it looks like Shamari Connors is that guy. And this is another matchup this week where Brock Purdy's, I'm not saying he's a statue, but legs ain't his thing. And he's going to be able, he's going to be back there. He's got his targets that he's going to lock in on Ayuk and Kittle and maybe Juwan Jennings a little bit, maybe, a little bit of that with no running back. But you got to think there's going to be at that one point in this game, we called it with Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm calling again, there's going to be a moment in this game against San Francisco this Sunday where you're going to see Shamari Connors show up in the backfield and sack Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I think that's a fun call. Look, if we have this magic power, I'll go ahead and join you there with, and we can see if we do this twice in a row. I think a Shamari Connor Brock Purdy sack is an excellent call. And sometimes Spags just has Connor squeak in behind one of the linebackers, mm-hmm, who blitzes through first, takes all the attention, and then you get Connor, one of the other DBs that comes on through. It really is, and Connor didn't have a perfect start to the year. He had a few of those sort of cartoonish overruns where, mm-hmm, you can like hear the sound effect in your head of whoop, 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 like, no, Shamar, you gotta break down and hit the guy. But that kind of aggressiveness has permeated this entire group, and Connor has only continually gotten better that way. The other little perk that they have with that group, why it may not have to be Connor, but I think he's probably the best bet because he has been using that role so much. Every defensive back on this team can blitz and can tackle, and when you can do that, it becomes even harder, especially for a guy like Purdy, who I could just go ahead and write it in pen now. On Thursday, Steve Spagnuolo will, at the podium, will compare Brock Purdy to Tom Brady.
Yep.
It will happen. We're all going to be ready for it. It's going to be okay. But being able to get the picture to change for Purdy, to bring pressure when and where he's not expecting it, is a legitimate challenge. For all of the crazy discourse that's been around Purdy since he took over this job, and a lot of times I think we kind of lose the plot there, all of the discourse notwithstanding, he is a very good processor. He does make good decisions, and frankly, like, he's getting the football from point A to point B better than ever right now, I think in part because he's getting more experience, even as his weapons have become debilitated by injury. You have to get him when he's not expecting you to get him. That's the Spag special, and it's one of the things that makes this defense so, so fun to watch.
I think right now, as we get set for the, I guess you could call it, second half of the season for the Chiefs because of the bye, everything at post-bye for the Chiefs. Houston, to me, seems like the legit competitor right now to Kansas City. They've already beaten, Baltimore. Chance Buffalo falls to 3-3 tonight. Who do you think is that legit competitor now? Because I just think it's Houston and everybody else right now.
Yeah, I mean, if I hadn't just seen the Chiefs handle them pretty easily to kick off the season, I think Baltimore's frisky, but I've been saying that for 5 years, so
right,
I'm not exactly predicting their playoff success. The crazy thing is that the list is like incredibly difficult to stretch longer than that.
It really is, right? Yeah.
I am not prepared to tell you that the Steelers are that team. I am not prepared to tell you that the Chargers are coming, or Joe Flacco or Anthony Richardson's Colts are not ready for that. So yeah, I mean, the Texans, by being the only one loss team, I think clearly have to be in that group. And, they're going to have the chance to take on the Chiefs head to head right before Christmas. I think the Texans and the Bills do deserve that bit of conversation. I came into the year a little lower on the Bills. 3 weeks into the year, I felt a little silly about that. Now they lose two in a row against the Ravens and Texans, two of the right. aforementioned, like four good AFC teams. I'm not going to count out the team with Josh Allen in similar ways, not the same ways mm-hmm. that I won't count out the team with Patrick Mahomes, but I think I'm giving the edge to the Texans right now is that two slot, the Bills after that at three, and then probably the Ravens at four, although I think the Chiefs have shown that they're ready to handle them.
Very nice. Well, you will exchange tweets on Sunday when there's that sack by Chamari Connors, Mr. Briscoe, and enjoy the rest of your Monday afternoon and the rest of your week here on 96.5 The Fan.
Can we also predict that both of us will, like, win the lottery or something? Something to workshop for next week.
I don't want to promise things I can't that
easier
are out of my reach.
Easier to predict the NFL, I think, and that's so hard to do, too.
Right. That's a good point.
But I'll predict, I'll predict you have a very great Monday today. I can predict that, at least.
I'm going to predict that you're going to have a great week. How about that?
One-upper. I like in that situation. Have a great day, Mr. Briscoe. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, fellas.
That's Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan from SI.com, Josh Briscoe, who joined us there. Coming up on the other side, Overreaction Monday gets a revisit, plus we get into those 49ers a little bit, just a little bit at work here on a Monday on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan on your Monday morning. Looks beautiful out there, Bob.
Yeah, it does.
Looks and nice and
looks
crispy.
Yeah, perfect kind of fall weather. Had the fire pit going this weekend and the patio heaters on last night.
Nice.
Perfect weather last night to sit outside and watch some bad football.
Some news out of the NFL involving Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, did he retire?
Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel to reporters today. Tua Tagovailoa will not play this week, but is expected to resume playing in 2024. Tagovailoa is still seeking information, and the process continues.
So when is he supposed to start resuming play?
There's that for your vague Monday
right.
Schefter
exactly.
tweets.
Expected to resume play. When is he expecting to resume play? So why are we rushing this guy back?
I don't know.
You know? No reason to rush that guy back. But again, I mean, what do I know?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
What would you do, though? I mean...
It's very easy, but I also didn't spend my entire life playing a sport.
That's what I'm saying.
But if somebody were to be like, hey, like so here's what I would do. I would go to the physician or the neurologist that I've been going to so far, and I'd say, hey, man, put yourself in my position. I'd spin it that way. Like, I've never done anything else. Football's my life. I love it. It's the only thing I know, essentially, when it comes to professions. What would you do in that situation? And then I would say, now hit me with the facts. If I get another one, where's my life going to be as of now in the next 10 years? You know, go through that. And then I would have a discussion with my family. And then I would have a discussion with my organization in that order. And then that's when I would make my decision. And I think that's what he's doing. Now, would I be surprised if he got through all this process and was like, you know what, after further evaluation, I don't want to play football anymore. I would not be surprised.
I don't think that happens.
Think that's going to happen. But
no.
I also wouldn't be surprised if he said, you know what? This is what I know. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. And I'm going to go play quarterback for the Miami Dolphins once again. I'd be like, okay. But I just want to let you know that if it does happen again, like, you're not going to have a lot of people feeling sorry for you.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I'm thinking
and I'm
about
not sure that's what he's seeking.
No, but what we're looking at right now is, like, I think the average person would say, probably all three of us would say, take your money and walk away, man, now that you can walk away. If he gets a concussion again, what are people going to, you know, what are people going to say? Like, I hate the I told you so's in something like this, but I mean, he seems like a guy that is just one of those very, very fragile guys that. You know, one hit could absolutely change his entire life. And how many warning signs do you need before you walk away? But the flip side is that guy's done nothing else his entire life. He's worked his whole life for this.
Exactly.
And to give it up, you know, in this type of situation would suck. But we've seen guys like Luke Kuechly, for one, walk away from the game because of concussion. Somebody on the 49ers recently walked away, I think, at the beginning of the season, you know, because of the concussions. And Andrew Luck walked away because of the injuries and all of that kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, I think it's more important to be able to walk away and live a normal life than it is to play one last game in the NFL and get your bell rung again and potentially ruin you, you know, for the rest of your life. But again, it's not my decision and it's not something that I have to come to grips with. I think anybody who makes a big decision in their life goes through those mental gymnastics of the what if, what's next, what should I do? And you come to a line where you're like, I just don't know, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I kind of think that's where Tua is right now. I just don't think he's ready to give up, even though all the evidence would say you should probably give up and move on, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, what they say, it was like $127 million payout. That's another big factor,
and that's
too.
A huge factor, right? Like, you're looking at that, you're like, okay, I'm okay right now. One more hit, who knows, scrambled eggs. Or I could just walk away and have $127 million in an injury settlement. Why? I mean,
and that's why it's hard for me to be like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's the only thing he knows, Dusty. It's all he does. It's not your decision. He's like, yeah, he doesn't have to worry about doing a damn thing the rest of his life. Right. If he has $127 million.
Right.
Right. I understand that inflation is a thing and like prices are different than they were 10 years ago.
He'll be just fine.
$127 million. Like, somebody be like, oh, he's going to get $2 million to walk away. I'd be like, that's probably not enough in today's world. But 127.
That's enough in yesterday's world and tomorrow's world, you know?
And in 5 years' world.
Yeah. Just invest that properly, earn, you know, 4.5% or whatever the banks are paying these days on interest, and you're going to be just fine on that.
Also, he could still work. He's a really, really nice, well-spoken guy. Yeah. He could go work at the SEC Network. He could go work for National Football
the
League.
The Miami Football Organization.
You could be an ambassador for the Dolphins.
Do a lot of things.
You know, yeah. That's the other thing. Like, that's what the Dolphins should say to him. Look, like if I'm the owner of the Dolphins, right, Stephen Ross, I believe, is the gentleman. Name. If I'm the owner of the Dolphins, I'm looking at him. I'm going, here's the thing, Tua. I know you want to play again. I personally, as the owner of this team, don't think it's right for you to go out there and play. Mm-hmm. We'll finish this injury settlement, and from here on out, you'll have a job of being an ambassador for the Miami Dolphins. What does that mean? We'll give you $1 million a year to be you. Just kind of hang out, do your thing. If we want to bring you to an event, we can do that. And that could help potentially make his transition easier. I don't know if he wants to coach. I don't think all players need to have to coach all the time and that kind of stuff. Nor would you want to coach because you're putting in a hell of a lot of hours and not making nearly as enough money as you were when you were playing. So I think you propose that to him where he's there on Sundays like Dan Marino, shaking hands and kissing babies and, you know, helping the organization kind of take that next step forward. And I think people would love to have Tua walk into their room and they'd love that guy because of everything that he's been through. He can identify with a lot of people who've been through a lot of tough things and how to make tough decisions. He could hit the ground running as a motivational speaker or just somebody who speaks and talks about dealing with this situation. So there's a lot of different opportunities, but that fire burns in athletes more than we ever know because we're not athletes. And you know, you always question, why is that guy still playing minor league baseball in his 30s? Because he can, and eventually it's going to be taken away from him, so you play for as long as you possibly can until they tell you not to come back anymore.
Right.
I ultimately think somebody's going to have to make the decision for Tua to tell him to step away. I don't think it's going to be his decision.
Maybe. Some other news out of injury-related, the NFL, the Lions released a press release. Aiden Hutchinson underwent successful surgery to repair a fractured tibia and fibula at Baylor White Medical Center in Irving, Texas last night. Hutchinson will return to the Lions this week and is expected to make a full recovery. There is no timeline for his return to play at this time. For those of you that missed it, he did absolutely break his leg, and it was terrible, which I thought was interesting. He took the gloves off. Was that like the, is that the sign of like, oh, blank, it's bad?
I'm in real pain.
Oh, God, yeah.
I thought that too. I was like, why is he taking his... I'm like, oh, that must be the sign of like, gloves are off. That means, you know, here we are. Maybe I'm... I don't know. I've never seen that before.
I thought the same thing. I was like, what's he injured?
You're hurt and you're pissed.
And that's the flag? Like, that's the white flag? Like,
you know, it's done.
Oh, it was bad.
I mean, like, it's going to be real interesting to watch this rehab now, too. That's not something that's going to be easy to come back from. God.
That's almost the Alex Smith injury. It just wasn't a compound factor. It didn't stick out. Thank God. Because I watched it.
I watched it, yeah.
Not going to do it.
Whereas I can't see like blood and surgeries. Like my mom was a nurse, so she could watch like live in the ER when we're having dinner. Like I'm dead serious. But like could never, ever watch like the Theismann injury or the Alex Smith injury. Whereas I can watch that, can't watch blood and guts. I don't know. I'm just weird.
Well, because it dangles. I mean, everybody remembers Tim Crumry in the Super Bowl dangling, Theismann dangling, Alex Smith.
I'm more impressed that he didn't pass out.
Well, that's the other thing.
If I saw my leg go full fish, I'm out, dude.
I mean, like,
I'm out, man.
There's got to be the adrenaline, right? That kicks in.
Burning pain. I mean, I don't know if you've ever broken a bone. I've broken two.
I have not.
I broke my hand, and I saw it, and I was like, oh. Like, the bone's still not right. See that? How it's up? smashed into a brick wall in college. Angry. Boom. I was like, wow, stupid. I was like, looked at it. I was like, that's not supposed to be like that. Too poor to get it fixed. But I don't know how he didn't pass out, because they showed that in slow mo and it looked like a catfish hanging on the end of a line.
Yeah.
He
was going to be a finalist for DPOY. He really was.
Imagine,
top five.
Yeah.
He's top five. I mean, he's fantastic.
It changes the dynamic so much of that football team, right?
Am I a jackass for saying that I think people that put a futures bet in for him to win Defensive Player of the Year should get their money back?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a jackass for that?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's kind of the way it works.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Lost your money.
Yeah. FanDuel is proposing a trade today, which I always like these, you know, trade proposals.
Karlaftis for Amon-Ra St. Brown?
No, it says the Lions receive Max Crosby in a sixth-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
The Raiders get a 2025 first-round, 2026 first-round, 2026 fourth-round, and defensive end James Houston.
Oh, totally for it. Raiders will screw that up.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they'll totally screw that first round pick up, right? I would do it in a heartbeat.
If I'm Max Crosby, I'm banging down the door of the Raiders, going, trade me to Detroit.
So, right? When Hutchinson comes back, I still have Crosby.
And I still have Max Crosby.
And Crosby said that the only team he'd want to play with besides Vegas would be the Lions.
Really?
Yeah, he said that earlier this year. He goes, if you could play anywhere in the world, it'd be other than Vegas, he said it'd be Detroit.
Well, I think they should do it.
I think they should, too. You got that possibility. Hassan Reddick is the interesting one now. I think there's a good chance that dude ends up in Detroit, right? I mean,
he gets people paid.
Has not signed with the Jets yet, so he's not playing. He's got a year left. He hired Drew Rosenhaus today. Drew Rosenhaus got Tyreek Hill paid. Drew Rosenhaus gets things done, like it or not.
He got Tyreek Hill unarrested and ready to play a Miami game.
Yeah, like in hours, you know, in full swing. Yeah, like he got that thing handled fast.
Oh, yeah.
So I would imagine this week, Hassan Reddick has either got this long-term deal with the Jets or he's traded to Detroit. One way or the other, that thing's coming to a conclusion this week.
Mm-hmm. The Jets are just not a place to go.
Who would you rather have, Hassan Reddick, or would you rather have Max Crosby?
Max.
What do you think you have to give up more for?
Max.
Oh, Max.
Max, yeah. So the Jets may say, or the Lions may say we give up less. But you said when they have Aiden Hutchinson back, I wouldn't count on him to do anything.
I did see a report that said he could make it to the Super Bowl if they make it.
All right. You haven't played football since the beginning of October, and you're going to say he could be there for the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
We saw Vinny try to come back from a broken finger. How did that work out, right? Mm. You're going to have a guy whose entire job is based on his hips and legs to get, like, coming back off a broken leg that was dangling?
Was that 4 months? That's not an
man.
That's just the hope that people want to hear.
No, I didn't say it was going to happen. No, I get that, but that's like, think about that. The say it out loud test. That dude broke his leg. You think he's going to be playing an NFL game in February?
I bet
he's going to have a hard time coming back for September.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Do you think the Lions make a move at edge rusher before, or do you think the Chiefs make a move at wide receiver first?
Oh, I think the Lions got to make a move at edge rusher.
Yeah.
And there's plenty available now. I mean, I think Max Crosby is available. Right?
Yeah, their team sucks.
Right. Devontae Adams continues to have a hamstring injury, until they trade him. So I think Max Crosby could be a potential trade bait.
And he's out of the AFC West. I love it even more.
But if you're the Lions, though, let's just say this trade FanDuel created does work out, right? Not to say this has been offered. It's just speculation and talk and get you to, you know, kind of. But if you're the Raiders and they're offering you two first-round draft picks, even though they're going to be at the late end of the first round because you expect the Lions to be a team that's alive late in January, you still got to make that move if you're the Raiders, because you're not going anywhere with Max Crosby. It would be foolish. You're a fool if you're the Oakland Raiders and Devontae Adams and Max Crosby are still on your roster after the trade deadline in 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot of Raiders that could be traded, though. If they really wanted to really collect picks, they could really do that.
Now, do you have a general manager that you believe in that can draft?
I mean, you have an owner that doesn't even believe in a hairstylist.
That's exactly right.
Let alone an outfit specialist.
Right.
He still wears a white jumpsuit my mom wore in the 90s.
Well, I think it's an homage to his old man who like died in that suit.
That man's got to be careful when he farts.
That's what I was thinking, too. I always wonder that.
Real
like,
careful,
his pants are brown.
He's over the age of 35. You can't trust a fart after 30. That's what Theo Vaughn says. And then the other thing is, like, man, you know... you wearing all white, man. Yeah, like, I'm wearing khaki shorts to play golf in the heat, and it ain't good.
No, it's not. That all white suit is very, very bizarre. But anyway, the old man used to, you know, wear that kind of stuff.
At least he added some gray and black.
A little bit into it, but that whole white thing, man, what if you spill some red wine on there while you're up in that suite?
What if you sneeze too hard?
Yeah. You get some nacho cheese on there.
God forbid you cough and sneeze at the same time. You're going to shart yourself. You really can say that on the air.
But I think the Raiders should just trade everybody. At this point in time, there's no reason to hang on to these players.
Are they worse than the Broncos?
Yeah, I think they are. And the reason is because they're the Raiders. But also, too, if you're the Raiders, here's why you trade everybody right now. They're one of, I think, three teams that have this option. Nobody's going to watch you play. It's all visiting fans. So you don't have to worry about selling tickets because your schedule, Chiefs fans will be there. Bronco fans will be there. Steeler fans dominated that joint.
Did you see how many terrible towels were out there yesterday?
If you're the Raiders, like, teams don't want to wave the white flag early because it turns their fan base off. The Raiders don't have any fans going to their games.
Great point.
So you need to look at that, thank you, and say, they're not coming to watch us. Let's unload these guys. Let's load up on draft picks. Let's get better as a franchise because it's going to be all red in here in 2 weeks anyway when the Chiefs roll into town.
Yeah, October 27th.
Who do the Raiders have left on their home schedule? Because I think it'd be interesting to see where they are and who's left. Because if there's nobody left on their schedule worth a damn or worth a damn for them to have the home gate, you go ahead and you make that trade, man. You get rid of everybody on your team right now.
For Halloween, the Raiders fan base is going to dress up as Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Well, they do that anyway. Yeah. Let's see who their schedule is here. It's always so hard to find.
What are they, 1-5? 1-4?
Yeah, they beat the Ravens.
Do they have another win over that other than that?
See, they're 0-1, 1-1, 1-2, 2. Yeah, they beat Cleveland.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Yeah,
they lost to Denver, so they've got 1-2-3, 2-3 at this point in time.
There's so much parity in the NFL. Right. The Raiders have two wins against the toughest division of football.
Right. So they've got the Rams this weekend.
Uh-huh. That's a loss.
Yeah. They're at the Rams.
That's a loss.
Then they have the Chiefs.
Definitely a loss.
So they don't have to worry about home fans for the Chiefs. That game's going to be sold out.
By then, you're getting close to the trade deadline, I believe, which is November 6th.
Yes, 3 weeks. So
that's the 27th.
So their next three games are at L.A., home against the Chiefs, at Cincinnati.
No buys in there anywhere?
And then the bye is week 10. Right? So your last game and then a bye. So you had your last game, you have the trade deadline, then you're on a bye.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're at Miami. Mm. Then it's week 12. Your next home game after the Chiefs is essentially a month after that. Denver coming into town right before Thanksgiving. Okay? Mm. Bronco fans will take over that place. Then you're at Kansas City. Then you're at Tampa Bay. Then you come home again, Atlanta on a Monday night, week 15. Jacksonville on the 22nd at home, and then you finish the season at New Orleans and then home against the Chargers. So you're looking at a schedule right now that says to me, you don't have many home games left that matter. You don't have many home games left against opponents that aren't going to be filling the building anyway. Trade all your guys. It's the right decision to make right now if you're the Raiders.
Yeah.
You can almost never get multiple first-round picks for a player. And that is where Max Crosby's at. He's 27. He's going to be 28 next year. The contract's still got 3 years left here. You're not going to get two first-round picks next year.
Look,
this team's going to be bad for a long time. Yeah. Trade him.
Trade him. It's the right thing to do. It's the smart football decision to do. Teams don't make smart football and baseball decisions because they're worried about selling tickets. The Raiders don't have to worry about that problem.
They'll always trade sell tickets.
Yeah, exactly, because the opponents are there. You trade them, get those draft picks, and see what you can do. And if you're Detroit, you overpay for Max Crosby if you have to, because or Hassan Reddick, because you need to fill that void that Aiden Hutchinson had. Not that you're going to fill the void of him being the guy, but you got to get a good player in his return, or, you know, in his stead until he returns. You know,
Max Crosby would be like almost an upgrade. It'd be right there.
Oh, he'd fit in great in Detroit.
It'd be amazing.
He wants to go to Detroit. It's a fact.
It'd be scary.
Our guy Caleb Williams on the screen looked good this week. I think that I don't know if this is an overreaction. We'll get the game in 2 weeks when it'll be the Rookie of the Year campaign. Caleb Williams in Washington. The Bears in Washington will play in 2 weeks. This will be Daniels versus Williams, which will be an absolute just sell job right there. Should be Sunday Night Football. Hopefully it's not. I would love that to be the noon game.
It is the noon game, right?
Right now it's a noon game. That Sunday night game, though,
you said,
is
who was Sunday night? Like the
Cowboys,
Giants and Pittsburgh.
Niners.
No, that's not kidding.
Monday is Giants-Steelers.
Neither of those games are getting moved.
Yeah. No. Giants in primetime. Come on. Cowboys in primetime, not touching it. Mm-mm. But either way, hell of a way to start your Sunday at noon. Overreaction, Bob Fesco is now a believer in Caleb Williams.
I'm starting to come around a little bit, yeah.
He's but again, on the come?
Yeah, it's, but okay. Again, six games.
That's a win. Yeah,
it's been six games. Let's give it an entire season. Let's see where he is at the end of the year. But this is the NFL. We love to crown guys and teams week in and week out. Like, the narrative changes so much based on what you do on Sunday afternoon of how people perceive you. One of the McCourties said that the Ravens are now the best offense, you know, in the NFL. One of the other McCourties said they don't know who the Beatles are.
We'll get into that later.
But, you've got a lot of situations where we make these rash judgments based on what we've just witnessed instead of a great body of work. Caleb Williams has six games of work, and it's unfair to him, quite honestly, to say that he's arrived and he's the greatest thing ever.
So that I feel like is a little egregious, because I don't think he's the greatest thing ever, but I think that he has shown that he's starting to understand the league. And I know a lot of people will say, look at his last opponents, Jacksonville, you know,
Carolina. I don't care. You got to play the opponents.
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, Bryce Young played a bunch of crappy teams too, and he didn't look like he knew anything that was going on.
I think you may be better than Bryce Young.
That's a stretch.
Have you seen me play football ever? Have you seen Bryce Young?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, at least he knows.
You can see over the line of scrimmage, maybe, though.
I could. I'm barely six foot. Yeah. But probably not. The thing is, though, is that I don't think that we're – I just think that when you look at how he's figuring things out, you're seeing kind of now what people are – and you're a perfect example. You're like a lot of those people like, oh, we're just going to give Caleb Williams all this praise. And I think you're very much more to have that opinion. That's a totally fine opinion to have, because, to be fair – haven't seen him play an NFL snap before he got drafted. And everyone's saying, oh, he could take the Bears to the promised land. He could be their Moses. He could do all
this
sort of
thing. We hear that every year about quarterbacks, right?
But here's the thing. It's happening little by little as the season goes on. Like, he was electric this weekend. He was good last weekend. Now, has a bye this week, so everybody will cool off and he won't be the focal point. But then after that,
he'll forget about him next Sunday.
But then after that, in 2 weeks, it'll be he and Daniels, and he will be whoever wins that game. I think whoever wins that game will win Rookie of the Year. And that might be an overreaction, because Daniels might already have it in the bag.
He may, but he didn't play great yesterday. You know, they didn't get blown out.
It was a road game, and he was playing basically himself.
Yeah.
Like, if Daniels is Lamar 2.0, Washington's set up for a franchise for the next 10 years.
No doubt.
But Washington always seems to screw it up.
But they got new owners now, I think it's fair to give them a total refresh and restart, you know?
I agree. And, well, I'll say with the Rookie of the Year race, I think next week will have it be a huge deciding factor, I guess, in 2 weeks. But, I mean, 4-2, Caleb Williams and the Bears. I think it's 5-1 are the Lions. So they're a game out of that division.
Yeah.
That division. And we just saw a huge injury of Aiden Hutchinson to the Lions. We'll see what happens with their season. I mean, if Caleb Williams is battling for the best division in football, he's got to be up there in Rookie of the Year race.
Minnesota's going to have something to say about that when it comes to that division race, too. Like, all the teams are. I mean, it's the first time in NFL history that after six games, everybody's 4-2 or better.
That's crazy.
In one division. When did the NFC become fairly good and the AFC's kind of falling back, right? Like, maybe we're getting kind of a changeover right now, changing of the guard a little bit.
Once Aaron Rodgers left it?
Yeah, well, everything's better when Aaron Rodgers leaves. Yeah. I mean, ask Green Bay. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
How's that ayahuasca retreat? They're like, thank God this guy's gone. He couldn't pick up his towels.
No doubt. We'll get into the brioche of the weekend on the other side. Plus, we'll revisit that Bob Fesco Beatles take that he's just absolutely mind-boggled over. On 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what. Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, there's no dirty little secret about it. It's that time of the day. God, man. Have you ever in your life? It's that time of the day of Monday. We get to our brioche of the weekend, where we found something that we really liked, kind of like a brioche bun. You can't beat a brioche bun. I really don't think you can. Call it a hot take. Overreaction Monday.
And I give the pretzel bun a run for its money every day of the week.
It's only good in October.
The pretzel bun?
Yeah, it's only good in October.
I disagree with that.
It's like pumpkin spice.
That's like one of the dumbest things ever. A pretzel bun is good 365 days a year. It's a pretzel bun.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
I do want to get to my brioche, but I want to give the floor to the Fesco family, because your brioche of the weekend should be everybody's brioche of the weekend. Bob,
Give her respects.
Yeah, my wife finishing the Chicago Marathon. Her third marathon is done and in the book. She completed it yesterday like a champion. I couldn't be prouder as a husband of my wife for doing this for the third time now. And as she's on her way to get her feet x-rayed because she thinks she may have broke them. But I love you, Jen. You did a wonderful job. It was awesome to follow you yesterday and to see you finish. You make me proud every single day, but you make me even more proud that you can go out there and finish a marathon like that, because I know that is something I would never, ever, ever be able to do. I think they say 1% of the population can get these marathons done. So congratulations to my wife, who's doing stuff that is really, really remarkable. And I love you for it. I love you for more than that. But seeing you finish that marathon again for the third freaking time. My God.
Mac and I were even like diving into you. You're like, hey, you got any updates on Jen when you know what's going on? Then you're like, text her. She needs motivation. She's only got like 3 miles left. I'm like, that's got to be the longest 3 miles of your life.
Oh, totally. I think what the longest time is once you finish 20. Because you never train for more than 20.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I was wondering how that worked. You ramp up with a 5K, then go to a 10K, then go to a half.
You can read online. They've got day one, do this. Day two, and you do follow it all, right? Yeah. I don't know if it's a 60-day plan or whatever the hell it is, something I'm not interested in doing. But so you follow the plan, but you never run more than 20, right? And that's kind of the capper. So when you get to 20, you're like, all right, I got 6.2 more miles to go of this thing, right? And then you hit 20 because you start thinking in your mind, I'm almost done. It's still 6.2. miles. That's 10 more k's to you and I, you know. So that's a lot still to go after that. And then I think she says like the final 2/10 are the most excruciating, because you finish 26 and you can kind of see that finish line and you're like, I gotta get there,
but your body's like, we're done.
Oh yeah, because a couple of times she goes, I can't do it. I go, no, you're gonna do it, you're gonna push through, let's go, you made it this far, keep going. Yeah. And she did, and she finished. She's a champion.
That's awesome.
It's awesome, man.
Congratulations,
Jen
Fesco.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Somebody on the text line brings up the most important question. So no Tuesday night then, Bob?
I asked last night when she got home, you're right, and she said, are you kidding me?
You dog.
So you want to have sex before you go to bed after you're running, like, that marathon?
You're like, I told you it'd make your legs weak. Was it Bob or Chicago? Mac, your brioche for the weekend?
Man, I got to follow that.
Yeah, good luck. That's why I didn't go. What? Real scumbag over here.
Seriously. I'll stick with running. I mean, Derrick Henry is just my brioche of the weekend. One of my favorite players to watch, and I feel like I grew up in like the post- elite running back era of football.
For sure.
Like when passing became a thing. So it's cool to see. I mean, obviously, Adrian Peterson, like, there's guys that I've gotten to see, but Derrick Henry is like going to be on the top of the list for like me, is like in my life of best running backs, like maybe one or two.
Is Derrick Henry the MVP of the football season so far?
Man, that's a good, honestly.
Thank you. He is on pace for 1,995 rushing yards, 26 touchdowns.
1,995.
And he's on pace for 26 rushing touchdowns. Oh, by the way, his worst game of the year, 43 yards against
Chiefs.
Exactly.
Yeah, Chiefs don't give up rushing yards.
Is he the MVP?
I think the Chiefs defense is based on that.
Trent McDuffie's the MVP of the league.
Yeah. But it's going to go to some quarterback. I mean, it will, even though it shouldn't at times.
Right now, Mahomes is the favorite.
Of course he is. Yeah. Because the team is 5-0 and he's still the best player in the NFL, and everybody still expects him to go out there and dominate. Yeah. And you're leading that, like, him and Sam Darnold should be 1-2 in the MVP race. If that's how we're basing it, like, most valuable player to their team, you know, Sam Darnold and Patrick Mahomes are the quarterbacks. We know it's a quarterback award. They're the quarterbacks of these teams that are both sitting there at 5-0, the only two undefeated teams left in the NFL, both with a week off this week. Huh? Script, you think?
Coincidence?
You think? As they get ready, so when they meet in the Super Bowl, they can't say, well, the Vikings had a bye in week 13 and the Chiefs. No, they both had their same bye in week 6.
704 rushing yards, more than 19 NFL teams, 8 rushing touchdowns, more than 26 NFL teams.
He is currently plus 6,000 to win the MVP. Patrick Mahomes at plus 350. And the second guy, his teammate, Lamar Jackson, at plus 500.
But why wouldn't Derrick Henry be the leader based on what he's doing?
Because he ain't a quarterback, Bob.
If he wasn't the MVP with the Tennessee Titans when they made the AFC champion, then he's not going to be.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's hard for him to beat Lamar on his own team to be the MVP. But this Ravens team right now is playing good football, and a lot of it obviously has to do with Derrick Henry. One of their two losses came when he wasn't a factor in the game.
He is the first non-quarterback on the list. In fact, these guys are ahead of him: Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Joe Burrow, Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes.
All have better odds
than Derrick Henry. That's right.
Did you name Dominic Raiola too?
I mean, no. I think the bodyguard in Philadelphia has got a better chance right now than he does.
Good Lord.
I want to do my brioche of the weekend. Thanks to everybody out there that's starting to push this message of Crest Ridge High School to get a new facility. Go to their page on Instagram. All you got to do is type in Crest Ridge Cougars. That's all you got to do. Type that in. Like their page. They had 21,000 likes today. If they win, they get a grant from T-Mobile to update their facilities. Good work to the people at Fox 4, KNBC, all those news outlets that's been doing it. The Kansas City Star that's writing an article on it. All of you listeners out there today that have actually gone out there and liked the page and done what you can, I appreciate you all for that. Crest Ridge Cougar. That's what it is. Crest Ridge Cougar Pride on Instagram. It had 21,000 when we started the show. It has 22,300 now. Let them get that grant for their stadium and that endorsement that will make their facilities better. They run on a gravel track, dude.
Yeah, come on. We need regular tracks.
You're going to hear it more this week because I do this every day. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, year, or their high school facility. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. I love you, Mac. I love you, Bob. Love you, Jen. Congratulations over this weekend. Cody and Gold next on 96.5 The Fan.